Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome to another episode of So NWA, Northwest Arkansas's newest podcast where real stories meet real estate and everything in between. We're your hosts, Juan Carlos, and we got my brother here, Enrique, two local realtors here in the heart of Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, we started this podcast because Northwest Arkansas isn't just about where we work. It's a place where we call home, you know, from the trails to the town squares. There's a story behind every corner, and we're here to tell them.
Definitely. Each episode is where we bring these stories to the mic. We sit down with folks who make this region special, business owners, artists, neighbors, legends, locals, diving into their journey, their hustle, and the places they love.
Absolutely, man. So whether you're born here or raised here, or you're thinking about calling Northwest Arkansas your home, we're all about showcasing the people, places that make this area one of a kind.
Definitely, guys. So think of this like one of our front porch conversation with a side of real talk. Kick back, tune in. Let's get to know the heart and soul of NWA, one conversation at a time. Thank you again for tuning in with us. For Enrique and I, it has been a few weeks since we recorded, so yeah. It's nice to get behind the mic. How do you feel, Enrique?
I'm feeling good. Just before we went on the started live recording, I was telling our guests that usually I always feel a little bit jittery and nervous before starting an episode, but as we progress throughout, it feels more natural and the nerves kind of go away, and it's a good experience overall every time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good feeling, and it is nice to be behind the mic. But ladies and gentlemen, today we have a special guest with us today. I do want to give a shout out as well, but we were this guest of ours was a mutual friend from another friend that I know from the gym I go to here in Bentonville, Brick by Brick Fitness. So shout out to Brian Lux to getting us connected. The gentleman we have here today has a really extensive background in law enforcement. I think from what I understand, he's pretty much done everything in law enforcement, or done a lot of things, a lot of positions in law enforcement here. And I think he'll have a better way of explaining it and giving details. But not only that, he's also started a youth program with Benton County Police Department. So that's great. Or Sheriff's Department, excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, give a round of applause for Chris Sparks.
Yes. Welcome. Yeah. No, honored to be on here. Obviously there's a ton of good things going on in Northwest Arkansas. So to be called and asked to be on the podcast, I was super excited. So,
Chris, thank you. Thank you so much for coming, and just spending time with us. In each episode, it is really unique, right? Because we're meeting with different guests, different topics. So every time we get to get somebody who is obviously new with the background that maybe I'm not familiar with and things like that, it is actually really, really exciting. And so again, thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, I say it all the time on every episode, I feel, but time is super valuable to their own, you know. We really do appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks again for joining us. You know, and it is true, because I'm 44, and as I get older, it becomes more and more true. Time is valuable. You just never know with tomorrow what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't believe you when you say 44, man. You don't look a day over 25.
Yeah, hey, that's awesome. Good.
It's the tequila margarita.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Keeping us young.
Yeah. Is that the secret? Is that the real fountain of youth?
Oh, you know, I couldn't tell you, but it could be. So in every episode, we always like to get to know our guest, get to know what's going on with them, just a background of what's been going on in the last few days. But Enrique, what's new with you, man?
Man, just busy working, man. Busy prospecting, trying to help everyone we can with the real estate needs, bringing value to the people who need our services, and spending good time with our family. I know tomorrow, actually, it's my brother's birthday. Okay. His 18th nice. Birthday, so nice. Legally he'll be an adult, right? But mentally, maybe not yet. Yeah, nice. But I'm just teasing him. But so I'm just preparing some stuff for that. I got to go mow the yard, and then I got to go make a grocery list for everything we're going to need for tomorrow. So
he graduated this year?
He did, yeah. He graduated with Rogers High School, but he attended Crossroads for the final year of his education. Great. With the Rogers Public Schools. Yeah,
nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
He loved Crossroads. I mean, he talked real good about it. He felt the experience there was better than any other school he ever attended.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's really important. I think, you know, Crossroads, alternative learning right, school. So, you know, I think they do a great job in meeting those needs individually for those students there. So that's great.
Yeah, I agree. He actually graduated early. I think he finished school back in February. Oh, so okay. He's been out for months now, but he barely got to walk with the school. I think it was last week or two weeks ago. I don't remember when they graduated, but he did phenomenal this year.
at Crossroads.
Cool. Shout out. What was his name?
Diego.
Shout out to Diego. Yeah, that's awesome.
Congratulations.
Chris, what about you, man? How's this week been?
Man, I am chasing boys around. You know, Kim and I, my wife Kim, we have three boys. One's 25 in the military, and I've got a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they are just involved in sports. So,
oh man, that's cool.
We are divide and conquer every weekend. It seems like this last weekend I was in Branson, and she was in Northwest Arkansas with my 9-year-old doing a tournament. So
got it.
Yeah.
For the oldest who's in the military, mm-hmm. What branch is he in?
He's in the Army.
He's in the Army. Okay. Yep. Shout out to the Army. Shout out to
Chris Sparks Jr. Actually. Oh, okay. Yeah. So hard to remember, but Chris. He's a staff sergeant. He was based in Seattle for 4 years. Now he's close to Nashville. So okay. Been there. He's got a year left on this 8-year contract.
Nice. Okay.
Well, shout out to Chris Parks Jr. Neil, we thank you for his service.
Thank you for his service. Thank you for all the veterans out there that do that. So thank you for that. Neat, man. I like that. I hope it sounds like a good week for everybody.
Yeah. Well, what about you, man? What you got going on?
Man, busy. Let's see. In the last episode with Christina, mm-hmm. I gave a short announcement that my wife and I were expecting. So she is 6 months pregnant right now. So probably when this episode releases, we will probably have like a newborn at the house.
Oh, that's right.
Something like that. We're just honestly enjoying that time here at the house, just getting everything ready, planning a baby shower. But it's also just been busy at work. Little things with like the podcast and stuff.
Right.
I did close on a deal, and that was a good feeling from start to finish. It's always a good day when the clients mm-hmm. win and got their home that they wanted, and you were there or I was there, I guess you say, as a realtor to assist them. So it feels nice, and of course deals can fall through very last minute, and in this case it did not. So it was good. It was a good week so far.
First child,
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you. Congrats. Yeah. And we're having a boy.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Did I mention that to you?
No, you did not tell me that.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
No, you didn't. Now I know.
Okay.
Congrats. Cool. That's
thank
awesome.
You. Yeah. Mini Juan.
But there you go. No Juan Jr. Huh?
No Juan Jr. Please. I will probably be the last one.
Yeah.
That's funny, right? Last one.
Last one.
Yeah.
Last one.
Got it
right now. Last one. That's fun. That's
It'll be the last one for a while, I think. Nice. My dad is Juan. I'm Juan.
Oh.
My brother is John. So we're going to kind of pivot and go.
One different John.
There you go.
Yeah. But love my brother, love my dad. But I think, I'm the last one, I think, for a bit. So, but man, Chris, I really want to dive into your background, to your story. Yep. I think it's going to take as much time as we have here in this podcast. But so we'll start off right off the bat is, if you're not originally from Northwest Arkansas, how did you discover or move to Northwest Arkansas?
Yeah, so I was born and raised here. Native, my family was from, I guess, California is kind of where they spent most of the time, but they moved out here in the 70s. I think my grandfather has family over in Berryville. So they may have been Berryville and then California and then back here. But I was born in 80, so I'm 44 years old, born and raised. I went to Lowell Elementary and then transferred to Bentonville in the fifth grade, and the rest is history. Just kind of graduated from Bentonville in 98. Been here all my life.
Wow.
So you lived in the Bentonville area?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Grew up in Bentonville, roaming the streets and
nice.
Had that Bentonville Rogers rivalry.
That's what it was back in the day.
Yeah.
It still is.
Was it more aggressive back then?
It's huge. No. Yeah. No, this whole Bentonville West thing is dialed down. It was Bentonville Rogers every Friday night. So it was, it was fun though. It was good. Yeah.
Well, that's funny. You're one of the OGs.
Yeah. We had a lot of us but it was fun growing up at that time. I mean, it was just small town, it was just cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I grew up here back in 2000s or mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. And it was different. So I can only imagine maybe 10, 15 years before that, right? Yeah. I can only imagine how much smaller it was and pasture and a lot more land you get more creative, right?
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah. Well, I remember being like, God, I mean, I lived just outside of Cave Springs. And so I remember having like an 80cc dirt bike, and my grandparents lived in Lowell.
Oh, that's tight.
And I would ride dirt roads from my house. I was like 8 to 11 years old somewhere and ride dirt roads from my house to theirs. And it was probably a 7-mile ride.
Oh,
but at that age,
Oof.
And now I live in Cave Springs on those same roads that I used to ride dirt bikes on. So it's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Being in that area. And
How do you feel with all the progression that we're seeing with all the growth in the area?
You know, I mean, listen, I work for Walmart. So like change is good. You know, I get it. You gotta adapt to change. And this area is, it's booming. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at the positive things out of it. I mean, I loved it how it used to be, the small town feel. But then I love the things that are going on now with the way we're growing and like the opportunities that we have in Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I mean, we live in a bubble. I think it's great. So
I agree. We're so unique here. You know, I, a lot of people who come here now, the modern, right, quote unquote, NWA, people have that city feel.
Yeah.
But they also give homage to that small town feel, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we have that real good mixture.
Yeah.
So seeing how it was before to even now still holding those traditions, I think it's really nice that anyone that we talk to at least really highlights it very well.
Okay.
Yeah. So growing up during the 80s and 90s here in Bentonville, how was that experience? Because I was born in 2000, right? So
It's just slower, you know? I mean, we didn't have phones. Cell phones, you know, whenever I graduated in 98, you know, I think my first cell phone when I was like 16 was one of those block Zach Morris phones, so I had one of those, but at that time we had pagers, you know, so you get a page and then you go to Easy Mart and make your phone call, you know, call whoever. So, but I mean, it was just simple, you know, dirt roads and out in Mill Dam, you know, jumping into the creeks and having fun and baling hay. I mean, that's what we did growing up, just having fun. You know, the highlight was, you know, running Walton Boulevard in Bentonville, hanging out at Taco Bell and Easy Mart. That was the two hangouts, you know. So
little Taco Bell. Shout out Taco Bell.
Dude, shout out.
I mean, seriously.
If you have a chance, you know, to listen to some other episodes, Enrique is the unofficial Taco Bell ambassador. Hey,
I love some Taco Bell.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, and Taco Tico. I don't know. So that was, you ever tried Taco Tico?
I have not. No.
Okay. Well, it used to be right next door to Taco Bell in Bentonville. And so Taco Tico and Taco Bell were sitting right there.
Man, that's a rivalry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Place. I wonder, are they still in business?
Is it still there? Yeah. No, it's not there anymore. Okay. They used to have one in Siloam, but I'm sure other places have them. But
if I ever find one, I'm gonna try it.
Try it.
Chris said.
Legit.
Chris said to go try it out.
Yeah,
it's the competition for Taco Bell, so maybe it's going to give them the run for their money. I'll have to check it out and see what's going on there.
Chris, do me a favor real fast. Can you give me just a real quick background?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, overview.
Overview of what you have done.
18 years, or when I was 18 years old, I started in law enforcement, spent 15 years in law enforcement with the Benton County Sheriff's Office. I'm still a reserve deputy now, so at 44, I've still, ever since I left for Walmart 12 years ago, I kept my reserve status, so I'm still commissioned by the sheriff. Kim and I, my wife, started a nonprofit through the sheriff's office for kids. We'll talk about that, at-risk youth. And then the last 12 years I've been at Walmart, I work in global investigations at Walmart. So we handle any type of big risk investigation to Walmart. Had an opportunity to work in the international markets and U.S., so it's been a great opportunity.
Got it. Yeah. See, way better than what I said earlier. So. and this really led to this question as well. You know, right at 18, what drew you into law enforcement so early?
Yeah. So listen, I will say that, you know, I was a little hellion running around Bentonville causing problems too, you know, so I got into trouble. The girl that I was dating at the time, we actually got married for a brief time. That's my first son is with her. So Chris Jr. Her dad was the sheriff of Benton County at the time. Mm-hmm. So he was a sheriff. He had been sheriff for like 14 years. I got into trouble, had to do community service. Well, my mom was, you know, I disappointed my mom at a young age because she didn't raise me like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was dating her. And so I did my community service through the Benton County Jail.
Okay.
You just can't fathom that kind of stuff now. Like for a 16, 17 year old kid to go into a jail and do community service around inmates, that stuff would never happen right now. But back in 96, 97, I did my community service at the Benton County Jail. So I would show up and I think I had 40 hours of community service to do. I would show up, they would search me, and then I would go back and work in the kitchen with the inmates.
Oh wow!
At the downtown old Benton County Jail.
Oh wow!
Well, after just kind of being around that for the next, you know, and being around her, I got interested in that law enforcement profession, and then applied at the jail and started working the jail at 18 years old, 2 months after I graduated. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life. So it's just changed my life, and, and getting on track and being in law enforcement was the biggest pleasure I've ever had. So,
That's who would have thought, right?
Oh man. Yeah, no, it's crazy how God has a plan for you, and then stuff just works out, and then you get on that track, and you know, it changed my life. So, it's a great agency. Love Benton County, but you know, I try and do my best by them.
So, tell me about you said the old downtown. Benton County.
So they're at the Benton County at the square.
Okay,
at the courthouse.
Yes.
So the old Benton County Jail used to be there. So like we had a sally port, you drive in, and then you know, I mean, that's where we housed.
I don't think I knew that
inside there. Okay. Yeah, and it's been modified now. I can't even tell you what's back in there now, but it could be storage. I know juvenile probation is, or they used to be over there. The juvenile courts over there in that area too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I don't know. I don't know if I could imagine myself working with inmates. Think of how I was back when I was 16 and 17. I don't know if I can imagine myself working with inmates, right? I feel that'd be real intimidating for somebody at that age, right?
I was a buck 45, soaking wet, you know, getting thrown into a jail facility like that. And you know, you walk in like you got a jail uniform on and stuff. So you automatically think you're tough because you got this sewn on badge on and stuff. But, you know, you're feeding all the inmates from misdemeanors to murderers, you know, and it's it's intimidating, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. And I was working with a great group of deputies that taught me everything I know and, you know, had a great group and learned a lot and thankful that for my experience here.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, if that experience never happened, right. Who knows if you would have ever gone into the background of law enforcement, right?
Yeah.
So everything happens for a reason. I believe, like you said, God has a plan for all of us. And I do believe that. So you were around 18 or so when you started your career.
Yep.
As a young deputy with Bentonville, what were some defining moments for you in your career so early on, barely starting out?
Man, I mean, being 18 in the jail, I think communication was key for me back then. And I learned 3 years in the jail. I couldn't carry a gun until I was 21. So that's why I spent 3 years in the jail. The day I turned 21 is when I went to patrol. But I mean, I learned how to communicate when you're working in that jail. Mm. I mean, you have in the new facility that we have, I mean, it's probably got over 600 inmates in there right now, but you have to learn to communicate with people. And that's what I learned from in law enforcement is so key, is communication and remembering that people make mistakes and they're in there for a reason. And some are worse than others, but, you know, it's just remembering where you came from and communication and doing the job day to day. But
yeah,
I mean, there was a lot of investigations and even I had to grow up quick because my son, I was 19 when he was born. I was working midnight shift and, you know, evening shift a lot of times, but so, you know, I didn't realize at that time what a blessing a child is. You know, I was too young to have a kid at 19, but, you know, he's a blessing. I'm glad he turned out great. But sheriff's office and being young, I mean, being involved in a lot of and seeing a lot of different stuff made me grow up quick.
Yeah. You know? I can only imagine at that age. I mean, I can remember, you know, I'm thinking right after high school, right around that age, imagine being thrown in to something like that willingly or, you know, from community service or if you're like, you know what, I think I'm going to go to do that. Wow. I can only imagine what kind of impact that made just to change like the mindset, change what the room is like. You know, you go in and you're trying to feed these inmates and just one wrong look.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right. There's just so much that I'm just not familiar with that world. That's cool.
Yeah. It's a different environment. Not everybody can do it, you know, but it's, and so that's why I give praise to our law enforcement, our military, and you know, that does that job because it is important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, then on top of that, you know, they put their lives at 100% risk every day.
Yep.
Every day they go out there, you know, you never know what could happen. So, you know, to all the law enforcement officers and anyone who's in that position,
anyone serving,
Yeah, you know, give them praise, you know, because it's a hard job to do.
I mean, yeah.
Physically, mentally, I mean, all around, it's tough, you know.
Yes. No. So what other roles did you do while you were in the Bend County Sheriff's Office?
Yeah, so I started out in the jail, went to patrol, and then I spent about a year and a half in patrol. I liked the patrol stuff, but, you know, you're driving the county, work accident. I was on day shift, so I was kind of on the boring shift. So you work accidents and serve papers, you know, you'll get an occasional burglary or something like that. But you don't get, I mean, evening shift and midnights is where you kind of get into stuff. So I work days. So I don't know. I spent about a year and a half, almost 2 years on patrol. Whenever I was in patrol, I made friends with some of the detectives and I saw the work that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really got in a role of like, they wanted to get some of the patrol engaged in like property crimes. Mm. And so I took some of those cases, and in my spare time and my downtime when I was on patrol, I got involved in some of those property crimes cases and then solved some, got some confessions and stuff. And then I started interviewing for a detective spot. And that's really kind of where I wanted to be, because I loved communication. I loved like interviewing and just the details in the cases. I didn't really like taking the report and passing it on. I wanted to follow it through, you know, for the investigation phase. So I loved being a detective, did that for about, I don't know, 8 years or so. And then I got promoted into a sergeant's position, internal affairs. And then after that, about a year and a half, I got promoted into a jail captain position. So I led the jail facility. And then I was promoted into a CID detective captain position. While I was a detective, I was also a polygraph examiner. I was on a U.S. Marshal Task Force, and I spent about 6 years on the SWAT team.
Wow.
So
extensive background for sure.
Impressive. And then
very impressive.
So it was a good time, had great memories. And, you know, went to the FBI National Academy in 2013, Leadership Academy, and then made the switch to Walmart. And then it's been a blessing ever since, you know. So best of both worlds. I've been in Walmart, but then also stayed commissioned with law enforcement.
Yeah. Man, that is so much. You said that I'm kind of wondering. Yeah.
Well, one thing that piqued my interest is that you mentioned you got a couple of confessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you probably got many throughout the amount of time in your career. How does that work? Like, is there a certain way to talk to a person? I'm just curious, right?
Like, you know, it's like, I mean, you have to build rapport first. You know, I mean, imagine you go out and commit a crime. I mean, you don't want to openly tell me that you did something wrong.
Right.
There's no way you want to admit to that. But I just have to try and relate to you and get you to open up and talk about and understand that we all make mistakes and do things. And just because you make a bad mistake doesn't mean you're a bad person. You made a mistake. And then just start to continue to talk and get you to open up and eventually admit it to me, you know. That's the fun of it. But I mean, it's challenging, but it's awesome though. I mean, especially on the bigger crime, you're working murder cases and trying to, you know, get somebody like that to open up on a case and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that work has always intrigued me every time. I don't know how realistic it is on TV shows, or sometimes I'll watch YouTube videos of actual interview rooms where they'll have an actual suspect in the room. And the way the detectives work, it's like a skill that they've honed very precisely. It's always very impressive to me.
It is true, because I mean, I think if you don't use it, you lose it, you know, on a lot of those. But yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah, that's all good. This is probably a silly question, but has the interrogations been a useful tool for you as a parent?
You know, it is true. And I'll tell you this, it's funny. My wife and I, when we talk to our kids, you know, a lot of times she'll want to believe them on stuff. You can easily see that some of them are just lying at times, and it's like, my gosh. And so I want to do the interrogation and get them out of it, you know, but, you know, or it's funny, like when she words something a certain way, I'll be like, man, we shouldn't have said it like that, you know, but, so.
I just imagine he like has a dedicated spot somewhere in the house with this like one chair.
And oh,
like,
no. So it's been a blessing. I got three boys and they're all great. So knock on wood, you know,
I've been, right. Well, they know now. He's like, Dad, yeah. Dad knows all the tricks.
Yeah, can't get nothing past that.
So yeah. Be careful. Dad knows them all. And he knows people, too.
Oh, that would scare me, at least. That's Dad funny. Knows people. Oh.
Yeah. You know, earlier before we began recording, you know, one of the questions that Enrique asked, which I think was a really great question, you know, what are some common misconceptions people have about law enforcement and their work and duties and things like that?
Yeah. You know what's funny is I bet you people always think that law enforcement are the bad guys. And yeah, so there's some situations and we can get into it later, but of why we started the Police Athletic League is like, you know, one thing I hated about that was seeing that law enforcement is seen in bad light, because they're some of the most comical and quirky people that you can come across. And it's so fun day to day, because whenever I'm around them in law enforcement, it's just, they are your brothers and sisters worldwide, you know? And once you're in that brotherhood of law enforcement, you can reach out to whatever agency you need to, and you'll get help from that, you know? And it's just an awesome thing to be a part of. And so I think that people always thinking that law enforcement, they're just there to write tickets or whatever. I hated writing tickets. I couldn't stand it. I did on the patrol stuff. I mean, I would go out and work seatbelt grant and stuff and to get extra money on the weekends and stuff. But you know, so I'd always write child restraint tickets if kids aren't buckled up and stuff. But I'm a normal person that sped and stuff. So I didn't want to be a hypocrite and go out here. But at the same time, I try to teach people whenever I was making traffic stops and have an impact on them so they won't do it again. You know, if they're being stupid and going 15 over, it's like talk to them and kind of relate to them and be that person. But I think law enforcement has to be engaged in the community. I think that's a huge part of the badge. And that's why I do this day in, day out for the kids and stuff.
I don't know how to phrase this question. Let me sit here and think for a moment. Let me see here. Videos, right? You know, people will upload videos on social media.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it'll show maybe at least first impression.
Or yeah.
However it is being perceived, the officer maybe out of line or police, you know, throwing their authority around. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, in defense of the police, oh, you know, not all police officers are bad. I mean, I'm sure that's true. No, I mean,
yeah, you know, and listen, it's just, and I think about this all the time, because when you see things in the media of like in, you know, small city or big city, say you've got a shooting that was the officer was in the wrong, you know, and you look at that. I mean, there's going to be incidents that happen around our the world every day that, you know, you have someone in the wrong or made a wrong decision. But my gosh, I mean, you can't paint that picture on every law enforcement officer. And that's what kills me is when you take a black eye, an agency takes a black eye, everyone takes the black eye a lot of times. And that kind of sucks. But, you know, P. Ridge, I mean, it's a great agency. And I know the chief very well. He used to be on our PAL board, you know. So I know Lynn very well. And those guys, they're just day in and day out trying to do good and serve the community.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, I think that applies with anything in life. There's always going to be those bad apples.
Yep. Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, what, every profession.
Every profession. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you live in the world. It's like that everywhere.
And it sucks. I mean, law enforcement's so tied to the media, and obviously, I mean, and you know, it is. It, I mean, it gets stories when the media, you know.
Yep.
You know, it gets a story. So I mean,
it gets clicks.
You know, yeah, it does. Views on it. You know, but it for the most part, I think we're all trying to do good throughout the communities.
Earlier, you mentioned that you went to the FBI National Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
How did that shape your leadership? Tell me that experience from, you know.
Yeah. So, man, I'll tell you, that was probably the highlight, the pinnacle of my law enforcement career, to be honest with you. So they select from the state of Arkansas, I think 8 get selected a year to attend from the whole state. So your sheriff or chief will nominate to the FBI office in Little Rock, and I was nominated and selected and went to that academy, and it was a 10-week academy in DC. And you know, my wife, we were married, I guess, 4 years at that time. Parker was like 3 years old. And so I was away for 10 weeks. But my roommate was from Gibraltar, the Rock of Gibraltar. And he and I are still good friends to this day. I've had an opportunity to visit him one time, flew into the Rock, and now he's the police commissioner for the Rock of Gibraltar. So he's like number one in charge of
there you go.
And it's just, you know, like, but the connections you make around the US of all of the agencies, that academy teaches you about being a leader instead of a manager and like being there for your people and being the right kind of leader. And I think it shaped me to have a better understanding of just kind of like what it's like to be a true leader, a servant leader. I try to be humble and serve and give back to the community and in the best way I can. But that was probably the pinnacle of my law enforcement career. It was a great opportunity.
I love it. Yeah. Out of you said eight, they select eight people out of the whole state, right?
Eight for the every year. Yeah.
That's a small number. Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations.
Yeah. There was a guy from Fort Smith, Mark Hallam, Fort Smith PD, whenever I went for the session and we went together and then was in DC for 10 weeks. It was awesome.
Neat. You also mentioned a little bit in the U.S. Marshal Task Force.
Yeah. So 2000, maybe four or five, Richard O'Connell, he was the U.S. Marshal at the time. He established a task force here in Northwest Arkansas, and it was really designed to, you know, violent offenders, sex offenders that were on the run, or any high risk, any kind of warrants that, you know, people were evading, we would kind of get involved in. There was a robbery case that we had years ago. It was a out in Avoca, a guy named Larry Rafe Snyder that he actually acted like he was going to buy a camper from these elderly people who have now since passed. But he took them into a building in Avoca, tied them up, and held them hostage, and then tried to get money out of them. We responded, and he was on the run, and he actually did it again about a year later and got, I think it was like maybe 70, 80,000 from this elderly couple. He had went into their house in the middle of the night, got a key, went into their house and while they were sleeping and taped them up and held them hostage and got money. He was wanted from, God, if I remember correctly, I mean, it was 15 to 20 agencies around the U.S. He was on America's Most Wanted. But I worked that case for probably, man, I would say probably 4 years, probably. Chased him around the U.S., finally found out who he was. And while I was on that task force, he tried to do it again in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, got arrested. We found out, went over there, interviewed him, got the confession. He's been in prison ever since. So,
wow.
But yeah, big cases. But, you know, we were involved in, you know, that task force was awesome. And they still have the Marshall Task Force, but it just, you know, gives you an opportunity to be sworn in under the federal. Obviously, you're not a full-time officer, but you're a task force officer, and you you know, can, you know, they do warrant roundups, and, you know, if you go into another state and make, it's pretty cool going into another state, making an arrest and bringing them back to Arkansas or whatever. So yeah, it's kind of cool. But that was an awesome opportunity to be sworn in and do that too.
What's going through your mind whenever you're on the task force and you're going to an assignment? Let's say you're maybe going to maybe a standoff, for example. I don't know if maybe you have an experience but what's going through?
I was on SWAT team for 6 years. You know, I think it's kind of crazy because you're with the best of the best on in the agency on the SWAT teams, and you trust, you know, your brother or sister right next to you with your life, you know, and that's why I think to this day, I'm still so close to all those SWAT members, you know, I mean, some of them are still my best friends today, and it doesn't matter who it was. Like if Joe Blow that was on the team called me and needed something, I'd be right there for him today, but your heart's pounding out of your chest and you're scared. Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, you do all that training day in and day out and train for that. But I mean, you know, I had the mentality of like, listen, I've signed up for this, and you know, you're going into a bad situation. But I think everybody's kind of zoned in and locked in going to the call. And then you can see after you do the hit and you get back out in the truck, everybody's just kind of relaxed and having a good time. And it's great. But everybody kind of, you know, doesn't talk a ton going out to the call.
Yeah, I figure it might be a little bit quiet because I'm sure everyone's feeling
for the most part. Like, I mean, you do your brief and you get in the truck and you're ready to go. But I mean, after it's over, it's awesome and you're out there with the team and everything's good.
Man, that's neat.
I love it, man. So you've brought up your nonprofit organization,
Police Athletic League.
Yep. Okay, all right, Police Athletic League. It's you and your wife that started. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, so take you back 2008. I was on SWAT. I remember we were doing a nighttime search warrant SWAT out in the Cave Springs, kind of Hyphal area. And for nighttime search warrants, a lot of those happen if there's a risk of, like, you know, firearms involved or they have, you know, a history. The judge will sign off on a nighttime warrant just because you want to enter the house when they're sleeping is what you want to do. So you can catch them on surprise if there's any kind of high risk involved. Mm-hmm. So there was on a particular warrant that we hit. And when we went into this house, I remember going into to the living room and turning left, and I went down a hallway. And as I entered this bedroom, I remember there was two kids and one, man, I get chills just thinking about it, but there was kids that were laying in the bed and, like, freaked out whenever I came in. And, you know, as you can imagine, full SWAT gear, rifle, helmet, goggles, everything. Mm-hmm. And these kids are screaming at the top of their lungs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I scooped a girl up, took her outside, and, you know, we arrested the parents without incident. But it's those situations that were just day in and day out where those kids saw us as the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, this is crazy. Like, why in the heck we're doing our job and trying to get drugs off the street and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And these kids are being put into these situations at home, which it sucks because that's your parents, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not going in here trying to make it worse. I'm trying to get this crap off the streets. And then we're making enemies on the kids, and that sucks. So we started researching, and we went to a local conference, and it was a gang conference, and they talked about crime or sports being the number one crime deterrent for kids. Mm-hmm. And so my wife was a college swimmer. She swam for Alabama. Don't hold that against her. But she's from Northwest Arkansas, but got recruited and went to Bama. But and that's been brutal in itself, and just being a Hogs versus Bama fan. But, you know, we started researching, like, you know, programs involving sports and kids and stuff. And we found a national organization called the Police Athletic League that we started here in Northwest Arkansas. And we started that in 2009. And the idea was really to do sports activities with kids and law enforcement and kind of build that relationship. Because if we could get on the ground level, so PAL started in, like, the 40s. In New York, because of a police officer playing in the streets with kids, playing basketball and stuff like that. Wow. And so we wanted to bring that to Northwest Arkansas, and we started this program, and we do junior police academies, we do shop with a cop, we do...
Oh, that's amazing.
We do all kinds of, you know, mentoring activities and stuff for the kids. We're gearing up for our week-long junior police academy in June that's coming up. But we bring in 40 kids that really don't know a ton about law enforcement, and we teach them everything about law enforcement. So every division from the sheriff's office comes in and shows them how the detectives work. SWAT comes in and does a demonstration. Our canines come in, our undercover narcotics guys come in and teach them about drugs. And, you know, we do gun safety. We do all kinds of stuff with these kids. But then I get to peg some of them with the dodgeball also, you know, so that's fun also. You know, I'm really competitive, but I have so much fun with these kids. It's awesome. But we partner with the U of A and do basketball team and football team, and they you know, try to just have positive role models in their life.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love the impact to the community and to the younger generation, you know, because they're the ones who are going to be leading us one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that impact is what we always want to highlight when we're having these conversations here,
sitting down.
And so the big impact you're having with so many things you guys are doing all throughout the area is really a blessing, I think, to those children.
Well, that's where it's been a massive thing, and like why I continuously do this year after year, is because like from day one, we always have those kids that are like, I don't want to be here. I don't like law enforcement. And then by day five, they want to be undercover narcotics officers, you know? And like, I've had some that leave our academy, they go graduate high school, and then they become police officers, you know? And I've got one that works at Walmart security right now that reached out to me and is like, hey, do you remember me? I went through your junior police academy like 8 years ago, and now I'm his mentor at Walmart, and he just had his first child. You know, it's like we stay in touch with these kids, and, you know, just kind of building that relationship.
Yeah, it's like a full circle moment.
Man, it is.
That's
it's really cool.
I can only imagine the impact. I mean, I remember I was one of those kids back in Elmwood who did the junior police academy with Officer Foster. I'll never forget. And he's actually still there now. I think he retired with the PD.
Gotcha.
And then the school district hired him as like a security.
That's great.
Like, for the district, right? Yeah. Like, but yeah, I'll never forget just the impact that had on me.
It's cool.
I was proud to get my shirt, bring it home.
Yeah.
My mom. I mean, seriously. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Green shirt, badge on and everything. I was definitely one of those kids. Yeah.
You know, it's cool. I was actually texting the deputies yesterday, and we're planning for this year's event, and we're buying water bottles and t-shirts and stuff. And I was like, I love how we still don't charge anything for these families, nothing for the week, food, everything's like that's included. But it's awesome because like you give back to these kids and you make an impact, and then seeing them wear the t-shirt and their water ball, how much they like that kind of stuff. It's cool. So
it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, you started the, you know, police athletic league. What kind of impact have you seen it have so far with the community? I mean, you talked about now you get to see this gentleman at Walmart or so, but what are some other impacts that you've seen that the league has done?
Yeah, you know, every year our Shop with a Cop event.
Oh
man, it melts your heart, man. I think last year was somewhere around 60 to 100 kids, and we do $150 each kid. And these kids come in, and they come in with a list of kind of, we always tell them to like try and pick out clothes and stuff that they need also, so they have some needs and they have some wants.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one last year, the year before, that bought a Christmas tree with their $150 because they didn't have a tree at home.
No way.
And I was like, no, we're not doing that. We'll buy you the tree. So I went and bought a 6-foot tree and took them and delivered it to their house and stuff. But it's those stories like that.
Yeah.
You just don't realize. People have no idea, like even in Northwest Arkansas, with how good it is in this area, that we have a lot of families that need help. And we're just, it's hard to help everyone, but we're trying to do our part with helping families in need and you know, just making that impact on the Shop of the Cop stuff. Absolutely melts my heart every year.
Oh, wow.
Just seeing those kids go and buy stuff for their siblings.
Yes.
You know, like they want to get this, like I have 150, but I want to map out. So we always go over budget because I can't stand when kids don't get what they really want. And man, it's hard.
How can the, you know, like for like ourselves, like Enrique and I, or even community, right? How can they get involved to maybe help you guys with this if they wanted to?
Yeah.
And anything in the police athletic league, you know?
You know, listen, I think a lot of it, we try and have law enforcement be the ones to mentor, you know, because that's what the program's designed about. Perfect. You know, it's like you want to build the trust between law enforcement and kids. So that's kind of where it is. We look to our suppliers a lot. The sheriff's office will, you know, they'll receive donations and stuff for drinks and meals and stuff like that. Because imagine like the academy, we're feeding 40 kids. So that's where it's awesome. Our local business owners, like these guys, they help us out so much. Like Peddler's Pub, I see you got it right here. I mean, like they every year they supply pizzas on a day for 20 pizzas, but they don't that impact that that makes mm-hmm. is huge for us because mm-hmm. that's an expense. And so our local businesses, man, they come through for us. It's it's awesome partners. Okay. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really means the world is like helping out with our events and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just to see the community get together the way it is with you know, providing these values to these children is I find it incredible. I mean, I really do believe that our children should get the help if they need it. You know, they're innocent. They don't, they don't know. Right. And so unfortunately, some of these children can be put in tough situations.
Yeah.
And so the fact that there's some sort of avenue for them to maybe feel a little bit better, get the help they need, I think that's really a huge impact.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it. I love hearing all these stories.
Yeah. We do live in a bubble because when law enforcement needs help, we do have a lot of support and you can really feel it in this area. So it is different.
I can tell you that when I have family and friends come from other states to visit us, mm-hmm. one of the things that they say all the time, whether it be Bend County Sheriff or, you know, Bentonville PD or Rogers PD or whatever, they'll say, man, I see a cop like every 5 minutes on the road. And I'm like, hey, I like it.
You know
what I'm saying? But it's just something you don't really, you know, they have the resources. It's probably one way of saying it. They have resources or people that are willing to serve, right?
Yeah.
Maybe other areas throughout the country, maybe the lack of people applying to those positions and things like that. But here, it doesn't seem like that's a problem, or it doesn't look like it is. Mm-hmm. And we just get to see all that and you just feel, it just feels different. Mm-hmm. And definitely, I think I like that.
Yeah.
Let's transition into your law enforcement career into Walmart.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one. Obviously, you know, this is home of Walmart, Walmart home office.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? What interests you and how did that go?
Yeah. So I, listen, and for me, money isn't everything for me. That's not what I was. My wife pushes me to always do better. And when I say do better, like she pushed me to, because of law enforcement, I didn't really go straight into college. I started the community college and then kind of took a break. I was working odd shifts and stuff. And whenever I met my wife in 08, she really pushed me to go back to school and get my degree. So I got my associates and then got my bachelor's. And I really wanted to do, I love law enforcement, but I really kind of wanted to do more for my family and stuff. And that's what sucks is that when you're in law enforcement, I hate it for these deputies day in and day out when they're working a shift and then off duty on the weekends, they're working all this overtime stuff to financially to get, you know, and it takes away from work-life balance with your family. Walmart was a great opportunity because I could use my skill set in investigations, do something great for the company. But man, Walmart's been good as far as like work-life balance. And, you know, when a matter comes in, we handle it really good. So, I mean, we have I would say the best investigative group around the world, honestly, with Walmart. I mean, the talent this company brings in and hires is amazing. We have skill sets from, you know, all around, from like state and local law enforcement to federal law enforcement, to attorneys, to all types of asset protection backgrounds, to everything. So we have a diverse skill set and a bunch of backgrounds within global investigations at Walmart, but we handle a lot of stuff for the company. So it's pretty cool.
That does sound pretty cool. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. What kind of work do you do now with global investigations with Walmart?
Yeah. So the company, so imagine any kind of wrongdoing by associate, this kind of big risk to Walmart, any kind of commercial corruption or, you know, it's crazy, but in this day and age, you know, within Walmart stores, you might have, you know, if you have shooting incidents or anything like that. So our team's kind of engaged in those matters and work in those matters. But we have a U.S. team and an international team, and it's been a blessing to be in both since they've kind of stood up global investigations since maybe 2012, 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to work in our international markets and, you know, never had an opportunity to go to anywhere besides Mexico until I came to Walmart. And then now I've been all throughout Latin America numerous times and South Africa, UK, Canada. So all those countries getting to go to and work and be involved and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're giving you a good experience.
Oh, man. It's been a blessing being at the company. Yeah.
Love it.
How does your law enforcement background help in your current role?
Yeah, I mean, really, it goes right in, because imagine, you know, a detective working in state and local. I mean, you're doing the same work in Walmart. It's just, you have to be the softer side of not, you know, we're not interrogating or anything like that, but it's, you're looking at wrongdoing for within Walmart and conducting interviews and talking to people. And then you're not putting anybody in jail or anything. It's just like trying to find wrongdoing at Walmart. So.
Right. Nice. I like it. My brother-in-law, I think he does something with asset protection Walmart. And so he doesn't tell me the details, obviously, because he can't. But he tells me that he tells me, you'll be surprised all the stuff that you know is going on and you wouldn't think is happening. So
what is a piece of advice you would give yourself or even someone else who's interested, you know, when they hear this story, they say, that's me.
Yeah, I mean, looking back whenever I was young, I think patience is everything. I think the biggest thing I've tried to do with my career is just be humble and soak it in and don't get in too big of a hurry. There's so many times where even now I have mentees and I look at them and they want to advance in the company and they want to go this place and this place. But sometimes you need to learn your position really well and then be ready to be a leader in the organization and train others and stuff. And so I think just like patience and, I think family and just slow down and enjoy life. You know, I think whenever I was young, and 18, I think I took that for granted too much, you know, and I didn't really enjoy my son at 19. I didn't know what I had. I was like, if I could go back now, I would be like, enjoy life with your family a little bit more. You know, I dedicated a lot of time to law enforcement. I was working on the weekends a lot, and a lot of it, because you need to. I mean, you need the money. You got to get out there and work, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think just kind of slow down and enjoy family, and because tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I like that, man. That was good. I'm about to quote that. I like that. Right. Anytime I hear stuff like that, man, it just makes me like, ooh, like, I don't know.
There's a quote I have on my refrigerator says, "Life begins at the end of your comfort zone." And that's so true, man. I use that in a lot of stuff, because
definitely believe in that.
You know,
yes,
yeah, it's there's a video of David Goggins. I don't know if you've heard of David Goggins before. He's like a motivational speaker.
Oh, okay.
And he's a little bit on the harsher side, like he'll curse and stuff. But like his message is real good. There's one video where he talks about what's it called. He says that, so he used to be 300 pounds. He was working for spraying cockroaches. You know, he said that he was broke, that he wasn't fit, whatever. Now he's the super fit guy, motivational speaker, you know, makes very good income, right?
Yeah.
I think millions of dollars is what he said. And he said, imagine this scenario. Imagine if you pass away, you're dead, and you're in heaven, and you're in line, and it's judgment day, right? You know, you go up, and then it's your turn. And then God is talking to you and he says, hey, read this right here. And it's all your achievements, right? So for you, for example, it'd be SWAT team, the academy, being a detective. But let's say maybe you went on a different path. You're like, no, man, that's not me. I don't know who you're talking about. And he's like, oh, well, this is who you were supposed to be.
Mm.
And every time I hear that, oh, it hits so hard, because it's like, oh, man, he's got this plan for you.
Yeah.
And so anything motivational, when I hear it, man, it just gets me fired up.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. Yeah,
I love hearing stuff like that.
I can relate to what you were saying about, what did you say on your fridge? It was life begins when you get out of your comfort zone.
Life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
I want to say that's so true. Back in January, I joined, you know, Brick by Brick Fitness in Bentonville, where we met Brian. And in the beginning, I did it to obviously get more fit, more health conscious as I'm getting older. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've said for a long time that I wanted to do and I never really did. But in the beginning, I didn't really want to go. I would go one or time, maybe two or three times a week. Well, now after a few months and just the changes that I've made, I've definitely craved to go now.
That's awesome.
And I feel like in this case, I never really done anything athletic to that degree. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's just working out for 30 minutes, you know, I've never really even did that. But now in that sense, it's something that really excites me to go or to talk to the people who are there. And I want to say that, and then even something like the podcast, you know, something that we have started back in January as well. And to just think about the last 6 months of my life, let alone with everything that's been going on as well with, you know, having a kid here soon.
Yeah.
It has been really exciting. 2025 has been one of the biggest changes of my life, like, period.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So,
man,
I really like that quote. I don't think I've heard that to that degree, that saying, but I think it definitely makes sense. So
does Brian really work out there, or does he just bring you guys water, or?
You know what? I will say I've seen him a few times. to be fair, you know, I go at 11. I usually go on my lunch. He could be going a different time, but
he's a great guy.
He's a good guy. He's funny. What's next for you, Chris, professionally, personally, in the community work? What do you think is next?
Man, I, you know, I'm blessed right now at Walmart, doing a great job. Well, I think I'm doing a good job, but, you know, I love working for Walmart. My heart is with the sheriff's office and Powell. And I think right now my biggest focus has to be my family, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Kim and I, we've been married almost 16 years, and we have these two boys in the house right now, the 14 and the 9, and they keep us pretty busy. So focusing on them and Kim, and but, you know, we try to give back and be involved in the community, because we want our boys to grow up in an area where they understand that they have to give back and you know, provide for the community also. They can't just sit in the house and do nothing, you know. And especially if you don't want anything, if you want changes, you got to be involved in those change.
Correct. So, definitely. You know? Definitely.
So,
yeah, I love it. So we give a little disclaimer with this next one. If your listeners, if you're listening to this episode and you're tuning in, don't feel offended or sad if for whatever reason the name isn't called. I'm sure you have a very special place in our guest's heart. But do you have anyone you want to give a shout out to? Maybe someone on your team, a past friend, you know, family, or staff members that were a big help with your journey?
I'll tell you, there was a former sheriff. He's passed now, but Keith Ferguson, he was a big impact in my life. You know, he kind of shaped a lot of things that I did in my law enforcement career also. But there's been so many people, man, that I've been involved in, you know, and I mean, some of the most basic people are just my best friends, you know, like but day in and day out, they listen to the problems that we face. But my wife, I mean, she's the rock. I mean, she's the one that's done everything and, supported me through, from the FBI Academy and me being away to listen to all the organizations I'm a part of and time away from home. She's the one that's put up with the most. So she's been great. So love her to death.
Love it. Shout out. What was her name again?
Kimberly.
Kimberly. Shout out to Kim.
Kimberly.
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Love it. So yeah, we've talked about your background, what you've done. Something we also like to do on this podcast is we really like to talk about our area, right? North Coast Arkansas. You were born and raised here in the Bentonville area. Let's say you have family or friends or anyone that hasn't been here before and they're coming here for the first time. What do you tell them about Indabit? What can they expect?
That they don't want to come here. No, it's, man, I think it's great. You know, Kim and I always talk about, like, where do we want to be, you know, when we retire? It's hard. Everybody's here, you know, and this place is so good. But I mean, we have so much to do here. But from the mountain biking trails to the Beaver Lake that's 20 minutes away to the Buffalo River to Branson for golfing and all. I mean, everything that we have in this area is just spectacular.
Yeah, I agree. I think the diverse set of options available for anyone who maybe doesn't like one thing is more keen to the other, it's there. You know, they have that option open to them.
I know. And with Walmart and everything that we're growing, it's like, I mean, look at the campus that they have built in Bentonville. Yep. It is incredible. You know, the art and everything they're doing downtown. I know you're never going to make everybody happy, you know, with like how we build and stuff. But man, there's great things happening in this area and it's awesome.
You know, as I circle back and every now and then I'll ask myself just for fun, I'll be like, man, what's something that Arkansas is not good at, or this Northwest Arkansas area, what is something that we can improve on or whatever, because that can make it better, right? And I've come down to two things: allergies.
The pollen,
the allergies, you know, all the trees. And I'm like, but that also what makes this area beautiful, right? Yeah, we love, I, I love seeing the trees whenever I just drive into, you know, if we're going to the Buffalo, if we're going to Beaver Lake or something, you just see this beautiful, just a million trees. So I'm like, man, I don't know. But I know allergies kind of suck for some people, right?
If the pollen can go away, I'll be happy.
I'll be good.
And the other one was our weather. Now, I'm not talking about seasons or anything. I'm talking like, because I love the four, you know, I love our seasons. But it's like, man, it seems like we can never have a calm, non-windy day.
Yeah, no.
It seems it's always like it's beautiful day outside and it's just so windy you can't even go outside to like play pickleball or ride your bike or something. It's very rare.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you know it, it's like super hot now.
Yeah.
So you've kind of like, I don't want to be outside, right? So I'm like, man, there's two things that we could do here in this.
Isn't it crazy though how like January, you know, you get an ice storm. And then the next week you're golfing, you know, or eating ice cream.
It's true.
Square. Yeah. It's just so nuts. True. How
Our weather is definitely, we definitely crazy. Get anxiety from our weather. But, Chris, tell us one of your hidden gems that's in this area.
I love the lake. I think the lake in this area is just awesome.
Do you have a boat?
No, but listen, I'm telling you, I'm having discussion. It's funny you bring that up. I hope Kim listens to this podcast because it's funny because my 14-year-old and I have like we're
debating it
within the next year. I really want to have a boat. Oh, you know,
I support that decision.
Yeah, you know, I think it is a great decision. You know, I want to be out there so bad. I love it. I love wakeboarding and just being on the lake. It's awesome.
You know, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah,
man, Kim, please. Cool.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, Kimberly, see, we'll get the boat and we'll all four go out.
Yeah, exactly. We can do a podcast on the on the boat.
That's awesome.
On Chris's new boat. Yeah, Chris. as one of his sons is a wakeboarder.
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny. No, I feel like just being out on the lake though. Like I have so many memories growing up, and even as I'm not old per se, but even in my earlier 20s, and I was like barely 20, me and my fiance that now we would go all the time to the lake, and so I have a lot of fun memories of Beaver Lake and everything. Yeah. It's always a great time.
Yeah.
Chris, as we only got a few more minutes left on this podcast here, but what's one of your favorite local spots that you and your family go to that we would find you on the weekend here?
Well, usually it's a baseball field right now. But you know, listen, if anybody's new to the area or you've been to this area and haven't visited Montanay Chicken. Have you been there, Montanay?
I've never been. I drive by.
Dude, never.
You gotta go. You gotta go. Montanay Chicken. I worked there in high school.
And
I remember working there, and then there was a place called Shadow Lake. It's like they had teen night out in Missouri. We'd leave there and go up to Shadow Lake, but it was, man, that place is awesome.
Montanay Chicken.
AQ Chicken. They closed that down, but they're reopening in Elm Springs.
Yeah. You know, I heard
that's good. Your little spots on the square. I graduated with a guy who has a first seat in downtown Bentonville, little pub area. Man, it's a good little spot.
It is a good spot.
Good areas. So I like supporting the local businesses.
Yeah, okay. I'm the same way. You got to go with the local businesses. Yeah. Always got to give them our support.
Definitely. Yeah. If you have not heard or if not know, we do a little tradition here in the podcast where our previous podcast guest leaves a question for our next guest, right? So the question that was left to you by Christina, the principal at Grace Hill Elementary, is what are you most impressed with in our NWA community?
What am I most impressed with? Man, I'll tell you, I think I kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, is that, you know, the support that we have in Northwest Arkansas, you don't find that in a lot of communities, of how businesses and the support of, like, if something's needed, we all come together and do this. Right. I was at a national conference last week for PAL in Memphis, and you see these bigger agencies that they have the crime in these bigger cities.
Yeah.
And they have, it's kind of cool, but they have like midnight basketball games just to get kids off the streets to come to the gyms and play, you know, at midnight. And that's pretty cool. And so when you think long term and learn, like where we want to be and what we want to do, we got to think about like what we're going to do when we grow to be massive and we have more of a crime. I mean, we have a crime problem, but more of a crime problem and right. getting to those areas. But we have a community here that really comes together and supports. I mean, look at the tornado last year, a year ago.
Yeah.
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 You know, you had the tornado and how everyone comes together and does this to help our community. So very supportive. Mm.
So I think that's a great answer. It's true. I think our community is really, really unique where we go in Northwest Arkansas. So that's very true. What is now it's your turn to leave a question for our next guest. So what question would that be?
Oh man.
Any question?
I have to give it right now?
Yes.
Well, let's see. I guess like, you know, in the next 5 years, what are you going to do to make Northwest Arkansas a better place to live than it is right now?
Ooh, man.
I like that one.
That's tough.
That's a good
that's
one.
Good. You know? That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I'm interested to know hear the answer, excuse me, to that one. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because, I mean, we all got to think about what we want to do and, you know, how we're going to make this place better.
Absolutely. You
know? I like it. Well, Chris, we're getting up. We're wrapping up the episode. And again, thank you so much for being here. If anyone of our listeners is interested to find more information about what you have mentioned in this podcast, where can we find you?
Yeah, so obviously through the sheriff's office on the website, PAL has a website, www.bcsopal.com. And then on Facebook, Benton County Sheriff's Office Police Athletic League, or I'm on Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that. So Chris Sparks,
okay,
more than willing to meet with anyone or talk with anybody. So I appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you. And that is true, folks. He really did answer the call and really just came out here today and killed it today. So thank you so much, Chris, for being here.
Absolutely.
Enrique, same thing for you, brother.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be able to sit down with guests and with an extensive background as you have. I was really looking forward to this episode. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you. It's an honor.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in this episode. We will catch you guys soon. Thank you.